What I want to talk about tonight is some encouragement, something to help motivate us to be more evangelistic. If you would turn to Matthew, the 28th chapter, and we'll read verse 19 and 20. Here Jesus gives the apostles the Great Commission to go and teach all nations. He also directs them to teach all things that he commanded. Not some of the things, not part of the things, not the things that they agreed with, but all things he commanded them. He told them to go and teach these things. Now, obviously, there are some misconceptions, I think, with this verse, and that we try and apply this to ourselves. And a lot of the denominational groups try and take this verse and apply it to themselves and say, here's our reason why we're spending all our money, why we're spending all this time, and why we are involved in sponsoring arrangements to send people overseas. This was given directly to the apostles. Now, the same principle applies with us, that we are to teach all things to all people that we can. But I think because of the establishment of the church, the history there, the apostles had to go out and teach everywhere. They had to go abroad to spread the word. That was the direct commandment given to them. See, I was talking the whole time and not turning there myself. So now you guys are going to wait on me. Back up to verse 17. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." All things. That's very important in today's society, where we want to pick and choose the things out of the scriptures that we like, the things that are encouraging to one another, the things that don't exclude so many people in the world. But it's important. It's important that we grasp that and teach that every opportunity we have. Another verse for a backdrop before we begin in our points. Turn to John, the 3rd chapter. Verse 16 and 17, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him." Now, again, here's another verse that's a very important verse to us as Christians, but it's misused a lot. That you just have to believe. Well, we know that that's not the truth. We know that because of many reasons, but one verse in particular that I like to point out to those who have a belief-only or a faith-only doctrine, look at James, the 2nd chapter, in verse 19. "You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless?" We know that because of our faith, there are works that we have to do. Because we believe that these scriptures are from God, they are inspired, and they are complete, and they are perfect. Because of those things, there are actions that we must take to fulfill the responsibilities, the commands that we've been given. There are three things, with those thoughts in mind, I'm going to move on here, the three things that we must have to be more evangelistic. Maybe not these three things alone, but I think three important points. Number one, when we go out and teach people in the world, when we go and teach our friends, though we may have had them for years, or they may just be recent acquaintances, they need to understand, we need to understand, that we have to have a compassionate God. Each one of us has stories of heroism and an unimaginable love for another person. And we can all probably, if we went around the room right now, we could probably give off several stories of that convicted us to say, you know, that individual right there, they had a lot of love, a lot of respect, a lot of admiration for that other individual. I have such a story, and I'll share it with you. Sophomore year in high school, anybody that has been around here knows how hilly and how treacherous some of these two-way roads can be. Well, it was late at night. It was some sort of triple header or something. I'm not sure what it was, but they were there for a really long time. So it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. They were leaving from far north Missouri, and they're driving back down these back roads in Weston, towards real close to Weston, right before they got into the city limits. They were going too fast, came over the top of a hill, went airborne, and down at the bottom of the hill, they hit a bridge. It actually had gone off kilter and hit the support on the bridge. Well, Chad, the driver, good friend of mine, was killed instantly, broke his neck, killed him. Lloyd was thrown from the car probably about 40 feet, just launched. Well, he would have been pretty much perfectly fine. He had a few cuts and scrapes and scratches on him, no broken bones, really nothing of any consequence. But because of his love for his friend, he went back to that car to try and save him, to try and pull him out. The car exploded and burnt half of his body. Now, you talk about a sacrifice of an individual for another one, to go back knowing that there could be dangers and giving what they say in the military, life and limb. He did that. He did that. We need to understand that that's on a human level, and that those stories, no matter how numerous they are in the world, that there's lots of individuals that are willing to give for each other. We need to realize God has awesome love. We joke about things in this life and sometimes about how unloving we are or unloved we are, but how does our love stack up against God's love? Turn to Romans, the 5th chapter. Verse 8, Romans 5 and 8. But God demonstrates His own love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How often are we willing to do anything for someone that has done us wrong? How many times you see some individual you don't know, or even a friend, maybe not a close friend, but someone you know that has done you wrong, how often are you to just turn right back around and say, oh yeah, sure, I'll drive you down to Little Rock this weekend if you need help, or I'll help you move, or whatever. Most of the time, I've seen it myself. Somebody that's made me mad, done something wrong to me, they say, oh, hey, Wes. They turn around in the same breath after they've just said whatever they said to me, turn around in the same breath and say, hey, I need you to help me with this. Sometimes, conveniently, we have something to do, don't we? And we can't do it. Oh, I'm busy this weekend. I'm going to be out of town, or whatever the case is. But God, while we were still yet sinners, we have to stop. We have to realize how bad sin actually is to God. He will have no part in it. In a recent discussion we had with something David brought up about him withdrawing from the sun while he was on the cross because of that sin associated with Christ as it passed through him as he took that sin on himself and died. He separated himself from his very own son. While we were all still yet sinners, committing sin, not even knowing that we needed to be saved, he was willing to give his son for us on the cross. That is an awesome love. Another thing we need to remember about this is that God's love can be exhausted. It can be. Okay? Some have the idea that we have all the time in the world, that God won't allow anyone to perish. Oh, it's not my God. He wouldn't allow anybody to go to hell, but he wouldn't do that. He's too loving. He's my Father. Some think that God is tired or he's forgotten. Oh, yeah, if he was going to come, he would have done it already. This world's just going to keep spinning. It's going to keep going. We know differently. Turn to 2 Peter, the third chapter, verse 9. The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. The Lord isn't slack concerning His promise, but He is willing that all should come to Him, all that can, all that will, before they face eternal punishment. Life continues, right now, life continues, my opinion, from the Scriptures, because He wants sinners to come and repent. He still wants people to be saved. He wants everybody who is willing, who will, to come to Him. something that JP called me this afternoon, and I thought, what a good point to bring up in the lesson. He called me, and I told him that I had been up here this morning, that I heard that a very close cousin of mine was possibly going to be baptized this morning, and that we'd been working on her for some time. Those of you that know the family know one of the children in my dad's family, Rhonda, who has been a questionable character at most for most of her life, has a daughter that's about the same age as me, and we grew up real close. Grandma and Grandpa lived right across the on the same side of the street, on the same side of the gravel road, not the street, but right next door to us, and we spent, from the time we could walk till we were 5, 6, 7 years old, every day, all day together. So there's a lot of care there in my heart. There's a lot of love for her there in my heart. So I heard that. Now, of course, I was excited, wanted to be there to see it and be there with her. But then I got to thinking, as I was telling JP that, how many times, how often do we associate that love, do we associate that closeness with our family, but not those out in the world, those that need the salvation also? It's a terrible thing sometimes that we overlook people. Everybody needs care. Everybody needs concern and consideration when it comes to something as important as this. Turn to the first chapter of Timothy. Or, correction, 1 Timothy, the second chapter. Second chapter and verse 4. First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all goodness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. May we never, as Christians, exclude anyone from the knowledge that will give them true happiness, true hope, and the only chance of salvation that they'll have is through this word. We see the dregs of society. We see people out there judge a book by its cover. They say you're not supposed to do that, but in the short time that we have when we deal with people out there, you've got to form an opinion about a person, and you form that opinion by their actions. But just because of that opinion that you formed does not mean that they don't need to be saved. It doesn't mean that they don't need to hear the truth, that they don't need their soul to be saved. When you look at a person and you don't tell them about the word, about the truth, when you have the opportunity, you're telling them, you're telling me, you're telling God that you don't care about their soul. And I'm just as guilty of it as anybody else in here. We don't take all the opportunities that we have. God's love is expressive. God has made a promise to us that He will do something about sin. He has sent His Son to the earth to provide a path for salvation. He has done something for sin. He's done the ultimate thing for sin. He's done what no one else here on this earth could do. He's given us a chance of salvation. Turn to Genesis, the third chapter, in verse 15. Genesis 3:15. A little backdrop. Obviously, we all know the story of Adam and Eve and how they both transgressed God's law. And as a result, they were going to be kicked out of the garden. Well, some things changed, obviously, after that happened, because it was a perfect setup for them. But they fell short, and so things changed. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. Right there in the beginning, He's made that promise. He said that He's going to provide a path of salvation for us. Turn to Galatians, the fourth chapter, in verse 5. Back up to verse 4. when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. When you think about an adoption, obviously we know the steps that people go through and what that means. God has taken us in as his own. He wants us to be with him in heaven. He's provided that path. And if we don't share that with people, how are they going to know that option, that thing which saves us is available, it's there. We have to teach it to people. God made the ultimate expression of love to us. He made the ultimate expression. There was no other action he could have taken which would have shown more love than to give his own son. What kind of actions do we take to show our love? Do we let them know that God has made the utmost expression of love to them as well as to us? Sometimes, as Christians, we kind of have a obnubness about it, sticking our nose up in the air because of the knowledge that we have. That doesn't make it right, no doubt. But that barrier that you place between you and another individual because of your actions makes it that much harder to teach, makes it that much harder to reach that person and let them know that God made the utmost act for us, the utmost act of love expression for us. Second point, a compelling message. We have to have a compelling message, and we do. Turn to Romans, the first chapter. Paul here is talking about his obligation. And it's important to realize something about Paul, how devoted that man was to what he believed in. And here's why, in my opinion, here's why. I am under obligation to both Greeks and barbarians, both the wise and the foolish. So for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Paul was under compulsion to preach the word because of what God had done for him. He made that realization. He realized what God had done for him. And because of that, he wanted to share that. He was compelled to share that with everyone. Paul said that he was the debtor. He was a debtor. He was in debt. He had that debt that he could not repay. That's why he was compelled to teach, to travel and exhort as he did. Turn to Acts, the fourth chapter, in verse 12. Acts 4 and 12. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Paul knew that there was no other name, there was no other path to salvation, there was no other way to be saved at the end of this life but through Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, and verse 16. 1 Corinthians 9 and 16. Paul taught that because he knew. He knew if he didn't teach them, they may never have an opportunity to listen, to learn, and to hear the truth. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for I am under compulsion. For woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. You ever had something that you found out, something you discovered, something that you said, wow, you're excited about it, you want to share that with people? Well, when you try and box that in and you try, like me, I'm terrible with secrets. I can't keep a secret from my wife to save my life. If I get her a gift for our anniversary or you know, whatever, I get her a gift, period. Get her even silly flowers, if I get her flowers, I can't keep it a secret. I just can't. It's ridiculous if I can't do it. That's the way we need to be about the Word. We need to be excited. We need to be ready to tell that information whenever we can. It's funny, I make jest about that, but it's serious. It's serious because sometimes the actions of one person will determine I hate to use this word up here, but the fates of many people. There have been individuals that have not been taught the truth, and because of that, several generations down the line have never heard it. Because that one individual, maybe it's you, Brenda, maybe it's me, maybe it's you, Chase, that talks to one individual, and because of that, they get saved, and every generation after that knows the truth. Because of that one action of that one person. Paul realized that. The third point, and the last point, is he needs a commission to people. God needs a commission to people. Turn to Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 12 through 15. Romans 10, verses 12 through 15. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who will call on Him. Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. We have opportunities every day, whether it be by action or by word or just by our speech, just by our interaction. We have an opportunity to teach. Belinda, my cousin that was baptized this morning, we have talked to her. Well, I'm 27. She's 3 months younger than me. We have talked to her for 15 years. 15 years it took before she became a member of the church. Sometimes that's what it takes. You can't give up on people. You can't exclude them. You have to be the one to keep bringing them. If you're the only one that individual listened to, it's your job to keep bringing that forward to their mind so that they know. So that in the back of their mind, it's eating at them. Until they make that decision, until they say, you know what, I need to do it. I need to become baptized and I need to become a member of the body of Christ. We have a loving God. We have a compelling message. We have a responsibility to share this good news. Not just in part. All things, as Matthew, the 28th chapter said, we have a responsibility to share all things. Not just the happy things. Not just God is love. Not just if you are a good Christian, good things will come to you. This health and wealth gospel is a bunch of baloney. It's not true. And it's not the way the world works. We have to be ready to preach in season and out of season. Turn to 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, and verse 11. As we all should know this very well. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We need to speak where God speaks. We can't go out of context. When we teach these things, we need to make sure and teach the truth and nothing but the truth. And we have to be ready, as I said, to present that truth when it's not popular. Right now, this day and age, the truth that you and I will teach to those in the world, if you haven't already heard it, if you don't already know it, I'm going to slap you in the face with some reality. It's not popular. It is not popular. The general masses don't accept this. It's not popular. But, turn to 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, in verse 2. 2 Timothy 4, and verse 2. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, with great patience and instruction. Now, yes, we do have opportunities. We do have a responsibility to teach. But we have to do so in a manner that's not going to turn people off to the Word. And I think the only interaction they've had with a Christian is that guy, and that guy's a jerk. I did something wrong, and he just bawled me out for it. And now I don't want anything to do with it. We have to be patient. We have to have great patience in our instruction with any reproof, rebuking, or exhortation. And true. When we do teach, there are going to be people who just don't flat out want to hear it. They just don't want anything to do with it. It's baloney to them. As far as they're concerned, we're teaching nothing but lies. Turn to Matthew, the 10th chapter, and verse 14. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. What's he saying here? What's he saying here? Well, us techies here that like to mess with these computers, what's he saying? He's saying, hit the reset button. Get over it. Move on. You've got more people than just that town or just that home to talk to. So don't get bent out of shape over yourself. You've got work to do. Shake the dust from your feet and move on. We have great opportunities here in St. Joe to teach. We really do. This is a growing city. It's awesome to see the north side here having all the expansion that they've got coming down the pipe. There's going to be more and more people moving in here. There's two sound congregations here in this city. Between 70,000 and 80,000 people. There's a lot of work to be done. And I'm not saying that we need to be at a certain fraction or a certain percentage, because that's not the way it works. What I am saying is there's a lot of people here that do have honest hearts. There are a lot of people here who are willing to listen to things, to the truth. We have to do it the right way. We have to do it according to what God says, according to the truth. Well, I hope you've all got something out of this lesson. I know teaching it and researching it myself a little bit, it's always, as they all say, it's better for the preacher usually than what it is for the people out in the audience. But there is an invitation always offered, is customary for us, is an opportunity for those that need, I don't think there's anybody here that needs to be baptized. But I do know that each and every one of us need encouragement every day. We need strength. And sometimes we need more than other times. As I've said before, and I'll say it every time I'm up here, I can't help you unless you let me know. I can't read your mind. I just can't. Only God knows your thoughts. But if anyone here is subject to that call, that they need strength, that they need encouragement, they need exhortation, come let us know now as we stand and sing. Or, if it's embarrassing, tell your friends, tell everybody. They don't have to come forward when we get up and sing a song. We've got telephones. We've got email. We've got other ways of encouragement. So come forward now as we stand and sing.
Give me thy heart, says the Father.